Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You're finding that. I couldn't help but think this morning, with all we've been talking about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So just reflecting back over the last few weeks or so here, and some of the things that He has done in our midst, or in relation somehow to this church, as Harvey gets back a clean bill and sign of no cancer. Bobby gets back a clean bill with no cancer. I think about Mike that was spoke this morning, sunrise service, that a year ago there were several times that his Frank and Doris went to Roanoke thinking he may not make it till he gets there. There's a young lady been coming at our early service, and spoke to her this week, and she was telling me that she wasn't here last week because she went to see her grandma, because they were going to have to go in and do emergency heart surgery. They got her into the hospital, got inside, and couldn't find anything wrong after they got in there. And so it's amazing. And then Edie sitting there going like this, and the other night they came for exercise and got a little extra. Edie then took to the hospital and got her up there and said they couldn't find nothing wrong with her. Said the dog's cholesterol was higher than hers. And so that's an inside joke. You have to know that Edie feeds your dog a handful of, fries him up a half pound of hamburger every day. So dog's got higher cholesterol than she does. But it's amazing, again, as I said this morning, that Jesus Christ could defeat death, hell, and the grave. There's nothing too big that will come along in my life today that will outmatch him or overpower him. Hebrews chapter 12, maybe not where you was expecting to go this morning for an Easter message, but Hebrews chapter 12, and unfortunately for us, chapters and verses. Now, they're really great in helping us find what we're looking for, but they seriously sometimes louse up what we're trying to accomplish in reading a passage of Scripture, because oftentimes we look at it and think, well, that's the end of that chapter. That must be the end of the story. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it is, but many times it isn't. And I don't think in this case, again, Hebrews was meant to be a letter, and so I think that the author meant for it to be read from beginning to end. And so as we look at this, I want to go back and kind of back up in the letter a little bit. Many of you are no doubt familiar with Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is what we know as the Hall of Faith. The Faith's Hall of Fame is what it's labeled as. And there it just lists the great men and women of faith. It lists men and women like Abraham, Moses, others, and many that go just with no name, that it says died because of their faith. And so coming out of that great passage of those men and women with miraculous, marvelous faith, then we come in to chapter 12. And the reason I know that the chapter mark kind of is unfortunate for us is because the first word is therefore in verse 1 of chapter 12. And anytime you see that word, I've shared with you before, anytime you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. It's there for a reason. And so Hebrews chapter 12 starts out, therefore, based on what has been said, that these great men and women of faith, he says, based on those, he says, we too have a great cloud of witnesses because of these men and women. They're watching. They're observing. They're looking to see what goes on in our life, how we carry on the faith, how we carry on Christianity, how we carry on the message of Jesus Christ. I like that last song the choir sang this morning. You know, you can talk about the King is coming all you want to, but if it doesn't mean enough to you to go tell somebody, then it probably hasn't affected you. So these witnesses are watching, and they're looking, and they're looking at us. And eventually in chapter 12, verse 2, that's the way it comes out with this phrase where he says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And because of those great men and women of faith, they're watching us, he encourages us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, to watch him as the author and the finisher of our faith. He says, who wasn't afraid to take the cross? Who wasn't afraid to go to the cross of Calvary? So this morning, I want to show you that there's something, again, we've talked about it all day long already. Today is a day that no other religion has anything to compare to. Nothing at all that they can measure themselves by. CD and I were watching last year, and I don't know when they're going to do it again.
city has the great privilege of living behind the Buddhist temple up in Gannapolis. I live down the street, and last year, it was long about this time, sometime in the spring, I think it's got something to do with the moon, that they decorated up and put all these banners and everything out front and got all these colors out front, and I got to reading, and it's got something to do with the celebrating the death of their ancestors or something like that, and it's great to recognize your ancestors and all, but no other group, no other religion, no other organization in the world has anything that compares to Easter. Nothing that even comes close to celebrating a resurrected Savior. This morning, as we think about it, Christmas is great. It's a wonderful celebration. I like it. You like it. We like the gifts. We like everything about Christmas. But Easter is the day that it is just the foundation. It is the basis for our faith. It sets us apart and makes us who we are. When you look at it, many of the things that we teach as Christians, not to lie, not to steal, many of the religions of the world teach that. Many of what we might even label as cults teach those kind of things. Don't steal, don't lie, honor your parents. In fact, not only do they teach it, but many of the religions do a way better job of it. They do a way better job of practicing it. These things are the thing that makes us separate, the thing that makes us Christianity distinctive, this practice of worshiping and celebrating a risen Savior. That is not just the formula, but the very foundation of our faith. And so as we look at this great chapter that's led us up into the idea of faith, and then he comes and tells us to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What a great statement when he says that he wrote it and he finished it. He says he wrote it and he concluded it. We spent some time, a friend of mine, this week debating just exactly what all was involved when Jesus hung on the cross and said, "It is finished." What all did it involve? What all was included in finished? What all did he finish? He says that he wrote it, he finished it, there is no more addition, there is nothing else to add to it, but Jesus Christ is the very provider of our faith. That we have, that our faith is built, as the song says, on Jesus Christ and nothing more, nothing less. He is all. He is everything that we have. He is the author and the finisher. And the word, the author and finisher, to you and I think of author, I think of someone writing, and a finisher, the one that puts the end at the end. But in the original language, in the Greek, one of the ideas of that language was, and if you only think about Paul's writing, Paul and I would have got along good. Two things. Paul was long-winded, and Paul liked sports. Me and him would have got along good. You know, we would have been, you know, Paul talks about racing, he talks about fighting. Well, one of the things that this word that is used here, and I don't believe Paul wrote Hebrews, by the way, just throwing that out there. But one of the things about this word is it's an athletic word. It's a word that would have been used around the games. It means one that judges the games. It means one that stands and, you know, when you go and you go to a track meet and you go to an athletic event, you have to check in. You have to go by the judge. You have to go and say, "I'm here to compete." You know, if you're kids playing baseball, you have to go to somebody and you have to give them their birth certificate and their paperwork to show how old they are. Get them registered and signed up. But this word author and finisher is kind of that kind of word that it says that for us to have faith, for us to, that he is the provider, he is the entrance way for faith. There are a lot of people today who talk about faith. There are a lot of people today who talk about religion. There are a lot of good people in the world. You know, honestly, they are. There are a lot of folks in this world who are really good. They basically follow the rules of the Bible. They basically obey the Ten Commandments. They're good people. Many of them not in church, but they are basically good people. But what the writer here is saying to us is that Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. There is no entrance into faith. There is no way of having faith but in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You know, there are people who have, you know, we go out, you know, you think about it, you're exercising faith right now. You're exercising faith in that bench. You know, you're exercising, you know, have you ever got on an elevator? And I do this quite often, especially around the hospital. I get on the elevator and I look at the capacity. And I look around. I know how much I weigh. I subtract that off the capacity, and I start guessing at the rest of them, deciding if I'm riding or not. You know, I decide whether I want on that ride or not. I like the thrill, but not like that. I like to measure things up and see. Here, what the author is saying is that Jesus Christ is the one who establishes capacity. We exercise faith every day. We cross bridges. You're sitting on a pew. You have no idea the capacity of that pew. You have no idea. Did you sit down at that pew and go, huh? And look, don't say if you did, that'd get you in the doghouse. Did you look at the other folks on that pew? Well, think about it. You exercise faith in this floor. We exercise faith. We exercise faith all the time. But what the writer is saying to us is faith is based on Jesus Christ. There is no faith outside of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, we have to understand that there are a lot of people today who are talking a lot of things. I think about, and I've told y'all part of these stories before, but I grew up surrounded, on the corner, surrounded by girls. And not only the girls, but they were all older than me. They were all way meaner than me. And, to be honest with you, my mom will back me on this, now everyone. If a lot of my bad habits came from growing up around them. I'll tell you that. It came from having to learn to defend myself or die. It's that simple. They were mean. They still mean. They're still mean. I remember, one of them had a Monopoly game. And I can remember playing Monopoly with them, and they tended to make up the rules as they went. And I can remember clear as day being told, it's my game, and you'll play by my rules, or we won't play. Listen, Jesus says to us, and that's kind of crude and rude maybe when you play a Monopoly. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the author and the finisher of faith. You play by my rules, or you don't play. You play by my rules, or you don't play. There is but one way into heaven. There is but one name whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ says that I am the author and the finisher of faith. I am the one who designed. I am the one who sets up faith. I am the one where faith comes from. I am the only one worth having faith in. I am the only one worth having faith in. I personally, one of the things I enjoy, Reader's Digest. I like that. But I've always wondered, the whole idea of Reader's Digest is they condense the original story. And I've always wondered what they leave out. Who adjusted it? What does the original author think of the condensed version? I'd like this one day to talk to the author and say, here's what Reader's Digest did to your story. Here's what they did to your book. What do you think of it? They say, they missed it. They left out. Now, what would they say about the condensed version of their book? Well, here's the reality. When it comes down to it, I want to talk to the author. Jesus Christ says, I am the author, the finisher of faith. I am the judge. I am the admissions agent. I am the gatekeeper. There is no way to salvation. There is no way to have. There is no other besides me. You can be a good person. You can do a lot of good things for a lot of folks. You can be just sweeter than sugar. You can do all kinds of things for many people. But the Bible says this, that Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, says that He is a personal Savior and that there is no other way. He is the author and the finisher of faith. There's no other way. He is the very provider of faith. And very simply this morning, I would ask you as we celebrate Easter, what are you trusting in? One of the questions that sometimes is used in evangelism is that if you were to die today and you were to stand before God, you were to stand at the gates of heaven, and they were to ask you on what right, by what means, what should we allow you into heaven? What would your answer be? I remember I told you before, I worked with a lady who quite often told me, I know I'm going to heaven because I buy fuel oil for the old people in the winter. Listen, that's great. I know some of you probably sitting there thinking, I'd like to have her name. That's great. And there are many people around who do those types of things, who give, who do, who help, who sacrifice. But the reality is, Jesus Christ says, I am the provider. I am the author and the finisher of faith, and that there is no other way. What Jesus Christ did at Calvary, what we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the only thing worth having faith in. See, here's reality. You can go through your life. Many of us have to go across a bridge to get home. You can have faith in that bridge. And I've got to be honest with you. I crossed one that I don't have a lot of faith in. I'll be honest with you. It's the bridge at my house that crosses over 85. I'll be honest with you. I've been out through there running, and I know that there are holes in that bridge, and if you look down, you can see all the way through. Some of you didn't want to know that. Dale knows that. He knows. You know, there are places out there where you can see the interstate through the bridge. I don't have the utmost confidence in that bridge. Don't have a lot of faith in that bridge. I think about that one outside of Stanley County. When my grandpa, we used to go out rambling. There was one, I believe it was about 6 miles off the ground. That's what it looked like to me anyway. It was about 6 miles off the ground. It was about 3 inches wide. You know, it was out near the Solite plant. It looked like, I said, I believe it was about 6 miles up, about 3 miles. I really believe the car wheels wasn't on the bridge. I believe they were hanging off the side and just scrubbing us along. I mean, that's how narrow and how high that bridge looked. I didn't have a lot of faith in that bridge. There ain't a lot of faith in the one that goes near my house. But here's what I do have faith in. Is that if that bridge fails, Jesus Christ never will. See, that underlies all my other faith. I don't have a lot of faith in there are a lot of things. I'm just not a very trusting person. You know, I kind of like ironclad, hardcore evidence. You know, I like to be able to weigh out the facts for myself. You tell me something, I want evidence. I want to know the basis of that conclusion. I want to know where it came from. But here's what I know, that all of my other faith is built on my faith in Jesus Christ. If everything else crumbles away, if everything I think is real falls away, if everything I think, if I go outside within a little bit and the sky is orange and the sun is purple, and all that could change, but one thing I know is that my God never changes. He is the author and the finisher of faith. And he hung on that cross and he said, "It is finished." Y'all gonna have to excuse me a minute. Let me loosen up here. I put on Caleb's shirt this morning and he's choking me. And I did my Rhonda brought mine with all this went on. I hadn't had time to change, and so I'm about to die. Okay? He's got a little stony pencil neck. You know, I'm not used to this. It's killing me. About to choke me. But, you know, what Jesus said, the writer of Hebrews said that he is the author, the finisher of faith. My faith in Jesus Christ undergirds everything else that I believe in. He is the provider of faith. Not only does this passage say that he is the provider of faith, it also teaches us that along with being the provider, he is the pattern of our faith. He doesn't just provide it, but he shows us what it looks like. He shows us what our faith should look like. Look what he says. He says in this verse, listen, if you look at this second statement in this verse very closely, if you look at that statement, it just absolutely is mind-boggling. Listen, that second statement says to me more about the love of Christ than practically anything else I can think of. Do you see two words in that second phrase that just don't seem to go together? Joy and cross. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've never been crucified. Not literally. I've read about it. I know the process. Many of us think that the whole idea was the piercing and the nails. The shed blood, but honestly, many of the crucifixions that the Romans carried out, they didn't use nails. They would simply tie them to the cross, and they would leave them hanging there for days and days on end as they hung there in the sun, and as they became weaker and weaker, and the ropes would stretch out their arms to the point where the pressure across their chest, they were unable to breathe, and they would have to pull themselves back up to the point where they could breathe again. And they would let them repeat that process and hang and almost suffocate, pull themselves up. And some of them would hang there for days and days. And yet this verse says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You ever had anything in front of you that was joy? Every time I talk to Courtney Stillman, she tells how many days she has to graduation. I've tried to tell her it will be about a week after graduation. It will be about a week, 2 weeks after graduation. May even make it to August when all her friends go back to school and she's going, she'll be wishing she was back. You know, there's some folks in here a little older than Courtney who are nodding their head. They know that's true. Something out there, joy. Something ahead of you. So, you know, take a kid and Christmas is in front of them. Something is out there and there's joy in front of them. If I told you that tomorrow you're going to be crucified, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't look at that as joy in front of you. Why in the world does this passage say here that for the joy that was set before him? Well, what in the world is he saying when he said there's joy involved in the cross of the point? Jesus Christ said this. What he's teaching us here is that joy comes in doing the will of the Father. Joy comes in doing the will of the Father. Here Jesus, Jesus said in this passage, when you look at it, and he says to us there, when it says that for the joy that is set in front of us, he says he endured the cross. What joy? Look what it says. Because of the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. What joy? Simply doing the will of the Father. See, here's what I understand about faith. The pattern of faith is this. And people will try to tell you about faith. People will try to explain to you about faith. People have written books about faith. Let me sum up faith for you very simply. Faith is doing what God wants you to do. Pretty simple. Faith is doing what God wants you to do. Now, that may not be popular. It may be different in your life than mine. But faith, very simply put, is simply obedience. It's obedience. It's doing what God is asking us to do. It's being obedient to the will of God. It's being obedient to what He wants in our life. This passage says that He did what He did for the joy. What was the joy? What did He say over and over? What did He tell everybody who was coming in contact with Him? He said, I am here to do what? The will of the Father. I want to tell you something. Jesus gave us the greatest pattern of faith when He said, I'll do the will of the Father. As He kneeled in the garden and said, not my will, but thine. I'll do what you ask me to do. I will be obedient all the way to the cross. I will be obedient all the way to the cross. I will be obedient all the way to the cross. Jesus says, that's faith. That's faith. That is faith. Listen, we talk about faith. We sing about faith. Simply put, faith is being obedient. You know, I've heard all kinds of great illustrations for faith. I've heard people say faith is stepping out where there's nothing, believing there'll be something before your foot hits the ground. You know, there are all kinds of explanations for faith. Some people use an anagram across it for faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Let me just boil it down just as plain. Again, faith is being obedient. Simply being obedient. It's doing what God asks you to do. He's not only the provider of faith and the pattern of faith we need to know about, but the third thing we need to understand is the promise of faith. Look what he says in the end. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. 40 days from Easter, the Bible says those men stood there with Jesus and watched him as he ascended back to his Father, sat down at the right hand to make intercession for you and I. After Jesus completed his earthly task, the Bible says he sat down at the right hand. He's seated there today for you and I. He's sitting there today as we're there. And the Bible tells us in this great passage of Scripture, Hebrews 11:12, he says, we have witnesses watching us, cheering us on. We have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, cheering us on, saying, be obedient, exercise your faith, trust me. One of my favorite hymns in the book is simply put, trust and obey. Trust and obey. We continue to serve Him. We make a difference for the kingdom of God. Christians, you're here today, and you say, I know Christ. I know this Christ of Easter is my personal Savior. What it simply means to have faith is to do what God leads you to do, to be obedient to Him. You're here today, and you don't know Him as your Savior. Faith means that He says, I went to the cross for you. I died for your sins. Accept me as your Savior. I'll bring you the story all the way back to 1968, the Olympic Games were in Mexico City. The Mexico City Games, during those times, the last runner to finish the marathon race in those Olympics was a runner from Tanzania. This young man, to say the least, had a bad day. It was not real pleasant for him that day. Running a marathon, if you don't know, is just a hair over 26 miles. That's not a good day to begin with. You know, but this young man had some problems to go along with. He fell on a couple of occasions. He banged himself up. He was bruised and bloody. In fact, he eventually, one of his falls, he ended up breaking his leg. But he didn't quit. He kept dragging along. About 7 o'clock that night, when everyone else had left the stadium, there were about 7,000 people left in the stadium, comes in and he's dragging along, beat, bruised, broke leg, banging along. As he runs that final lap, he finishes that lap and he comes across. Those 7,000 stand up and they give him a standing ovation. After it was done, they went up to him and interviewed him and said, why didn't you just quit? And he looked at him and he said, my country didn't send me halfway around the world to quit the race. They sent me halfway around the world to finish the race. Listen, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has left you here for a reason, not to quit, to finish the race. He has given you He has provided your faith. He has given you the opportunity to have faith through His death, burial, and resurrection. He has given you a pattern of faith and obedience. He has given you the promise that through faith we'll see Jesus. Through faith we'll see Him. I like the way the music ended. The choir songs ended this morning. Back began and ending. The King is coming. The King is coming. One way or another, the King is coming. Whether you're ready or not. Whether you're prepared or not, the King is coming. As we had on our sign one time, eternity is long. Don't be wrong. Eternity is long. Don't be wrong. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. The resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, provides us a pattern of faith, provides us opportunity for faith, and shows us the promise of faith that He sat down at the right hand of God. That He went to prepare a place for us, where He is, you may be also. You hear today and you say, I know I'm a Christian, but I need my faith to be strengthened. I need to be more obedient. I need to follow the author, the finisher of my faith. I need Him to help me, to strengthen me. I want to invite you to come. But most importantly, you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know the personal Savior, the provider of faith. This Easter morning, not a greater thing can happen than for you to know Jesus Christ. Someone I saw this week said, silly rabbit, Easter's for Jesus. Listen, we've turned Easter into a lot of things, but it's about our resurrected Savior. It's about Jesus Christ.